Title of today's message is Preparation for Fruitful Ministry. What does it take to be fruitful in ministry? Well, we're going to see what it took in Jonah's life. As we continue to look at Jonah's summer vacation, I'm going to read Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city, and he proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. You know, we talked about the Assyrians, and evil ways and violence is what they were all about. And so this was a strong command to come from the king. And he goes on, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. May God add his blessing and understanding to the reading of his word. You know, this shows us the consistent response of God to true repentance. There are some things about God that do not change. In fact, nothing about God changes. And one of the consistencies in the character of God is his response to true repentance. Compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. I want us to take a look at this passage, see if we can draw something from it for ourselves. The first thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that God's call is irrevocable. God's call is irrevocable. Jonah did everything that he shouldn't do, or so it seems to us. God spoke to Jonah, and he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to proclaim the word of God to the people there. And so Jonah took off right for Nineveh, right? No, we just read all about the things that he did. He went the opposite direction as fast as he could go. He had no intention of doing what God asked him to do. And so God did a few things in his life. He sent a storm. He sent a fish. Got Jonah right back where he was. And that's where this message starts. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Was it different? It was just the same. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to proclaim my word to the people there. And then it says, Jonah obeyed. Wise choice on his part. Don't you think? But this is the calling of the Lord to Jonah to do a particular thing. I use the word call here, even though it isn't in the text. And you might ask, well, what is calling? What are you talking about exactly? And actually, in the scripture, the word is used 3 different ways, the word calling or the word call. One has to do with worship. If we were a little more liturgical, usually I start out by reading some scripture at the beginning of worship. But we would put a thing in our bulletin that says, call to worship. And then it would list that scripture, because that's what a call to worship is. It's a biblical or liturgical invitation to join into worship, to gather yourselves to worship the Lord. That's a call to worship. Here's an example. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. That's a call to worship in the Scripture. Second kind of call is the call to salvation. The call to having a relationship with God. And there are two ways that that comes. One is what we call the general call. The general call is just a proclamation of the gospel to everyone. The other one is what we call the effectual call. That's the call of God when the Scripture is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit does a work in the heart of the hearer so that they become able to repent and believe the gospel and respond to it in faith. We experience the general call over and over and over and over again in our lives. I heard the gospel many, 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 many times before I ever responded to it. And I've heard it many, 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 many times since. But the effectual call only comes once. And that's when it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit to draw us into the kingdom of God. That's the effectual call. And that is a life-changing event. People are never the same after that. Because it comes with a lot of other things. It brings about regeneration or rebirth and repentance and faith. Okay? So that's a call to salvation. Neither one of those things is what we're talking about when we're talking about Jonah in this particular case. We're talking about a vocational call. Now, vocation, that's a divine appointment to a particular office or task. God didn't just say to Jonah, Jonah, come and be my friend. Come and spend some time with me, Jonah. No, God gave Jonah a specific task to do. He called him to be a prophet and he said, I want you to go to Nineveh and proclaim my word. All right? That's what God called Jonah to do. That's what he didn't do, and that's why he got himself into difficulties. With regard to the vocational call, I want you to consider Romans 11, 29. And I'm going to come back to this a little bit later on, but Romans 11, 29, it says this, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. The calling of God does not go away. Jonah was called by God to be a prophet, and Jonah was going to be a prophet. He was called to go to Nineveh and proclaim God's word to the people there. And Jonah was going to Nineveh to proclaim God's word to the people there. God's call on his life didn't go away because he was disobedient for a time. That's important for us to know. God's call is purposeful. When God calls a people or when God calls a person, it's because He has a purpose for them. He has an objective for them to meet. He has a reason for calling them. All right? Jonah was called to be a prophet of God. And Jonah's call was all about God getting His message to the people in Nineveh. The story is more about them than it is about Jonah, really. It's titled Jonah. But it's really about what God is intending to do in the city of Nineveh and what He accomplishes there. And this is important. Jonah's disobedience did not change God's purpose. Jonah's disobedience didn't change God's purpose. It was God's intention that His message would be declared with power in the city of Nineveh, and that's what happened. God didn't change that purpose because of what Jonah did or didn't do. God's call is serious. When God calls us, He's serious about it. Sometimes we read the Word of God, we don't take it all that seriously. We sit and we hear the Word preached and we don't take it all that seriously. But God is serious about it. And I want you to think about what God did in this case. I think this is why this was included in the Word, in the Scripture, so that we would have this to consider. Because God has not changed, has He? God sent a great wind and a violent storm. It says in the Word that God did it. God did it on purpose. And God provided a great fish. He appointed a fish to go and get Jonah. Now, we talked about this in an earlier lesson, but God didn't do that to punish Jonah. I mean, I would think, you know, being eaten by a fish would be, you know, not a good thing. But that fish got Jonah back to where he was supposed to be. He would have drowned in the middle of the sea in a storm, as particularly. But the ship just went off and left him, I presume. And if it hadn't been for the fish, he would have drowned. So he was saving Jonah and getting him back where he needed to be to give him a second chance. And you might well say, well, why did God do those things that way? Why did He do that? And I think it's because Jonah was afraid of the Assyrians. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. I mean, they killed people. They were tough, mean people, and he didn't want to go there. And he wasn't sure that just because God said go there, it was going to work out well for him. God taught Jonah something here. He had him pitched into the sea in the middle of a storm. And God saved his life. God preserved his life. God showed him his power and his ability to save. I mean, compared to that, what's the city of Nineveh? I mean, compared to that, what could those people do to him that God couldn't save him from? He went in there with assurance that his God was able to keep him, even in the midst of the capital city of the enemy. Remember, God hasn't changed. When God calls, He can see that call fulfilled. He will see it fulfilled. God restored Jonah's mission. You see, God was serious. And God didn't give up on Jonah. And God didn't give up on the people that lived in the city of Nineveh. Now, God's call is always significant. It's always important. And that's what it says in verses 3 and 4. It says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Well, we would all go, good idea. It says, now Nineveh was a very important city. Nineveh was a very important city. There's some significance to this particular city. And I want us to see what the significance is. Next verse or two, it says, Nineveh was a great city. Not exactly the same as an important city, but said it was a great city. Nineveh is located on the east side of the Tigris River. If you would go to a modern map of Iraq, and you find the Tigris River, it was on the east side of the Tigris River. On the west side of the Tigris River right now is the city of Mosul. I'm sure you've heard about that city in the news. Well, that's where it is. It was politically powerful. That city in its day was politically powerful. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, the Assyrian Empire lasted from 1350 B.C., until 612 B.C. That's a long time. 1350 B.C. till 612 B.C. Jonah's ministry in Nineveh was sometime after 782 B.C., just to put it into a time frame. But that was a long time for this empire to exist, and its capital, its seat of power, was Nineveh. It was economically powerful. It was the center of commerce for that entire region. And it was large in size and population. Now, you can read different places and get different pictures, but this comes from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary. They're quoting someone else. I'm not sure who. It says the wall, this is talking about the city of Nineveh. The walls were 100 feet high and broad enough to allow three chariots abreast and had, moreover, 1,500 lofty towers. The space between, including large parks and arable ground, as well as houses, was Nineveh in its full extent. So it was a big city. It was large in size. Geographically, it was large. And it was large in population. I think in the last chapter of Jonah, I'm not absolutely sure, I didn't write this down, but I think it says, in the city there were 120,000 who didn't know their right hand from their left. Now, that could just mean that there were 120,000 people and all the people that lived in Nineveh were a little slow. But I think it probably is talking about children. So, if there was 120,000 children in the city, that would have been a much larger population. But really, none of that is the reason why the city was important. The city was important because it was important to God. God had a plan for the people of this city. God had a purpose for the people of this city. They were to be a testimony to His saving power. That's what made the city important. And that's why He sent Jonah. Jonah's message, talk about significance, it was a matter of life and death. We're talking about eternal life or eternal loss. He had said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Now that's an interesting word because it can mean one of two things. It can mean transformed or it can mean destroyed. That was God's word to the people in Nineveh. In 40 days, this city is either going to be transformed or it's going to be destroyed. Quite a prophecy, isn't it? What we need to understand is that God wasn't messing around. Everything that we've read about this story up to this point tells us very clearly that God was not messing around. He wasn't messing around with Jonah. He wasn't messing around with the people in that city. Now I want you to see how powerful the Word of God is. You start out in the next section, verses 5 through 9. It says, the Ninevites believed. The Ninevites believed. Jonah came walking into this city that took 3 days to get across. And he came walking into this city proclaiming what God gave him to proclaim, which is that in 40 days, the city of Nineveh will be overturned. Jonah came with God's word. And Jonah came with a personal testimony that was pretty powerful. He came with the sure knowledge that God means what He says. And He's able to do as He pleases. But you know, the text does not say, and the people believed Jonah. The people believed God. You see, that's the Word of God. That's the difference between the Word of God and the Word of Jonah. Jonah didn't come walking into that city with his own idea. He didn't come walking into that city with his own plan for reform. He came in and he proclaimed the Word of God. Now that's important. Because you see, the Word of God is powerful. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says this. This is what Paul said about the people in Thessalonica. He said, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You see, that's the way it was with Jonah. When Jonah came in and proclaimed this word, the people knew that it wasn't just Jonah, that he was proclaiming God's word, and they received it as God's word. And God's word is powerful. The writer of Hebrews says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The people who heard it repented. It was a heartfelt, gut-grabbing response to the Word. You see, it was more than dynamic preaching. It was prophetic. It was more than helpful doctrine. It was compelling. The Word came with Spirit-enabled power. It was the Spirit of God that enabled this proclamation to have this effect. It was God. I was thinking about that power. It's stronghold-wrecking power. That's what it is. It's falsehood-correcting power. It's life-saving power. That's the power of God's Word. And the people repented. And the king repented. The fearsome, awesome, empire-building Assyrian king. I want you to see what he did. Don't miss this. The king humbled himself. It says he got up from his throne. And he took off his royal robes. And he put on the same thing the people were wearing. He put on sackcloth and he sat down in the dust. You see, that's an acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God. Even the king of Assyria, the leader of that great empire, recognized that he was nobody when he stood before the true and living God. And so he got up off his throne and he took those royal robes off. And he acknowledged God and he humbled himself. And he made the fast official. The people were already fasting, the Word said. But he made it official. Seeking God became national policy. I'll tell you what, folks. I would ask you to pray for that. Pray for that in America. That seeking God would become national policy. The king called the people to prayer and to hope. He said, let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of real crisis. There's a sense of desperation in what he said. People, we need to cry out to God. We need to do whatever we need to do to please Him. To live in a way that's going to honor Him. And he says, who knows? You don't know. I don't know. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from His fierce anger so that we may not perish. Listen, folks. That's what real revival looks like. That's what real revival looks like. It's a culture-changing move of God's Spirit on the hearts of people. Now, I've said this before a time or two. A lot of information in this message. But I want you to take this message personally. A lot of times we get ready to say something, we say, now, don't take this personally. Well, I'm not saying that this morning. I want you to take this personally. I'm going to go back to that passage from Romans, Romans 11:29. You remember Romans 11:29? It said, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. God doesn't withdraw His gifts. He doesn't withdraw His call. And I want you to think about God's call in your life. His call to salvation. His call to salvation. It's a call to faith in Christ. to full trust in Him and His provision for your life. Now and for eternity. That's what it is. His call to worship is a call to live your whole life for God's glory. To let the redeeming power of Christ redeem every aspect of your life. To honor Him with your thoughts and your words and your deeds on Sunday and every other day. That's God's call to worship. But His vocational call. What has God instructed you to do that remains undone? What has God instructed you to do that remains undone? Think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and remind you of those things that the Lord has called you to do that you've yet to do. See, because we learn an important lesson from God's Word. I can tell you with absolute certainty that God has not forgotten. God hasn't changed His mind. His purposes for your life have not changed. You know, Jonah didn't want to listen to God. Jonah didn't want to risk anything for God. Jonah wanted to take a little cruise and get away from it all. That's what Jonah wanted to do. But now, did God know what it would take to get Jonah to Nineveh? How many of you think God knew what it would take to get Jonah to Nineveh? Every hand should be up. God knew when He called Jonah exactly what Jonah was going to do. He also knew what he was going to do. And he was going to teach Jonah the lesson that he needed to learn before he went. So no surprises there for God. Now, how about you? I know we're all more like Jonah than we would want to admit. But God has given you ministry to do. And He's given you the spiritual gifts to do it. If there's going to be a culture-changing move of God in our generation, it's going to be because people like us quit ignoring or quit disobeying the call of God and start putting our gifts to use for the kingdom. I believe God's calling us now, maybe calling us again. I believe that it's important, and I believe that it's urgent. And so in the few days ahead, spend some time seeking God about it. What is it that God has called you to do that remains undone? Because God still wants it done. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to You this morning, and Lord, we know that Your call is powerful, it's important, it's significant. Lord, it's necessary for us to respond to Your call. I just pray, Lord, that You would just give us the strength, give us the wisdom to live for Your glory, to trust You with every aspect of our lives, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, faithful and fruitful. I pray, Lord, that You would call us again like You did Your servant Jonah, that You would fulfill Your purpose in us and through us. Not for our sake, but for Jesus' sake. For the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of Your glory and Your honor. Lord, we want to live to glorify You. Pray, Lord, that You would help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.